freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Beard has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
He did it!
Oh, he did do it. Salk left the party. He is out for the final hour of power here. And in his place, we got a whole lot better looking on set. Brady Henderson stepping aboard. Brady Henderson from ESPN. How are you?
Doing great. How's my mic sounding? Brock had to reach over and fix
yeah,
my mic.
Yeah, you know what? It's now here. Watch. I'm going to turn this off.
Let's boost that.
Yeah, it's
a little too soft.
You know, I think it's because I'm a lefty and I have it on the left side, or maybe it's because DJ Fluker used it last and it
like
kind of stretched it out.
Like you speak left-handed, or what do you mean by your left?
Well, I like to have the mic on the left side of my face. So, you know, you can kind of flip the thing around, so you can either have the mic on your right or your left, and I always like to have it on my left, and Brady has it on his right. Is that better?
Let's see. Yeah, it is.
Oh, now, there you go.
I can confirm, Brock, the microphone is on the left side.
It very much is on the left side.
Yippity-frickin-doodah,
okay.
Brock.
All right, Jeff. Okay, thank you. But Salk is out. Brady Henderson is in for this final hour, and I would like to really take advantage of you, Brady, and what you have seen over the last 3 weeks, because you have been out here at every single practice. All right, you have an opportunity right now at ESPN. It is a must-read. Your latest stories on Shaquem, on Brandon Marshall this morning, just phenomenal stuff. You're our eyes and ears, as I like to say, because you get to be out here the whole time. So we are going to bust through a number of rapid-fire questions. I shot them your way last night, Brady. But if you've got a question out there, 206-421-3776, 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. We will open up the phone lines, and if you have a rapid fire question, anything that you want to know about the Seahawks training camp, and throw it at Brady and I, you can get involved in the conversation as well. 206-421-3776. But Brady, you love to write stories. You're an excellent writer. Let's start right here as we go through some rapid fire. What has been the single best story of training camp?
Brock, if you're going to talk about best stories, I don't know how you go anything other than Shaquem Griffin. I mean, a guy out here doing what he's doing with one hand. And you know, I caution that it's not just a good story, right? Like, he's shown that he is way more than just a good story. I think he's shown over the last 3 weeks that he's a good football player.
Yeah.
And we saw that even before the preseason game when he had 9 tackles, was flying all around the field. The speed is evident. He's making plays. He picked off Russell Wilson in practice. I don't think that happens by accident. He's more than a good story. He's a really good player.
I think you asked me, was it at OTA? It might have been an OTA that we were out here, or maybe it was the final mini camp. Maybe it was in one of the early days of training camp. And you kind of pulled me aside, and you're like, okay, let's shoot this straight, okay? What realistically can this guy do this year?
Yeah.
Right? I think we had a very honest discussion. Like, okay, this is wonderful, this is great, he's fast, but what can he really do for this team on the field in 2018? Can you define that question or answer that question now for yourself after watching him?
Yeah, I think the question I asked was more along the lines of what's an over-under? What's a reasonable over-under on number of defensive snaps this season? Because we know, we figure he's gonna factor in pretty heavily on special teams. But I'm wondering how many defensive snaps, because when you look at, you know, I think Bradley McDougald last year is kind of a good indicator. Remember, Bradley McDougald, before he took over at strong safety for Cam Chancellor, he was their third safety, and he played kind of sparingly even while Chancellor and Earl Thomas were out there.
He was their big nickel.
He was their big nickel, as Mike Salk liked. Yeah,
yes.
Mike Salk loves the big nickel.
Yes.
But that was really only, you know, with the exception of that Giants game when he spent a lot of time matched up on Evan Engram, it was really only 4, 5, 6 snaps a game. So that's what I'm wondering is you know, how much is he going to play and where is it going to be? I think you could see him maybe in some third and long situations. Maybe instead of bringing in that third cornerback, you bring in a third linebacker. I don't think they want to take K.J. Wright or Bobby Wagner off the field because they love those guys in pass coverage. I think he could factor in there.
Yeah, that's part of the challenge. If K.J. was a strong side linebacker, which he's not, he is their weak side linebacker, works in beautiful tandem with Bobby, and you're not messing around with that. That's the best combination, trust, experience, talent you've got defensively. So he's not coming off the field in that way, and it really blocks Shaquem because, likewise, Shaquem is not a strong side linebacker. He's not a point of attack, get on the line of scrimmage, take on an NFL right tackle and tight end. He is your weak side, fly all over the field, as he did, last Thursday night, as I'm sure he's going to do in L.A. Saturday night. But because of that, and because of K.J. in front of him, I think it will challenge his reps And I don't know quite yet if Pete and Ken are in the business of, well, we just got to get this guy on the field. Right. Unlike offense, where you can have a package of 5 to 8 plays and say, you know what, I want this package in the game or to take advantage of this matchup. I don't think in this scheme and with Ken Norton, too, I don't think it works that way, that he'll have his own Shaquem package. It'll just be a matter if KJ plays every snap and KJ's ready to go, or if he were to go down, maybe for the first time in a long time, you're kind of intrigued about somebody behind Bobby and KJ.
I think he was running and hitting just like he's been looking in practice, and very encouraged. You know, he's a wonderful kid. He's been really busting his tail to figure it out and, you know, how to play in our scheme and all that. And I can't tell you much until I see the film, other than he was very active.
Bang! That's our transition. That's for Gross. Hey, Gross, get out of that hospital, bro. We're cheering for you. We're rooting for you from afar, and no more pictures. Hey, if cutdowns were today, not in 2 weeks from today or 2 weeks from tomorrow and Saturday, but if they were today, Brady, do you have a surprise cut or two?
I'll give you two names. I'm going to go two ways with this, Brock Huard style.
Two ways?
Two ways with this. Okay, the first name is J.R. Sweezy. Okay? You know, I think they signed J.R. Sweezy. When I saw them sign him to a one-year, $1.5 million deal, I kind of looked at that as, are they quite sold on DJ Fluker there at right guard? Seemed like Fluker wasn't really moving all that well. Now, I say that, and I watched him in that preseason game on that first drive on the 12-yard Chris Carson run, the way he got to the second level there. That looked pretty good.
Yep.
And maybe what I was seeing from DJ Fluker is just what it looks like when a 350-pound guy moves. Like, those guys aren't supposed to be all that nimble. So I'll say it could be an either-or there with J.R. Sweezy and DJ Fluker. You know, both at $1.5 million, I don't think that would be an exorbitant cost to keep one of those guys as the backup. Remember, they're both playing the same position, so only one of those guys is going to start. They may be able to keep both those guys. I just wonder if it's an either-or situation right now. And with J.R. Sweezy not practicing, I think he hasn't practiced since the first or maybe second day that he got here.
Yeah.
DJ Fluker,
what did he end
here?
Up doing? Have they ever defined what that is that J.R. Sweezy did? Was it ankle, knee? It must have been a lower leg of some sort that he got nicked up the first day, or was it upper body?
You know what? Pete may have said it, and I can't recall what it is right now, but we haven't seen him out here in over a week, and I want to say it was maybe he only practiced 1 or 2 days.
Oh, he practiced the first day. That was it?
Yeah.
But he practiced with the ones.
He did.
I mean, he had been out and not a part of this thing in the very first day. Well, you know what? Unlike Brandon Marshall, that it took like weeks and months to get him back, and a lot of that was injury basis,
yep.
But JR is like, oh, you're back? Yeah, you know, run with the number ones right in the huddle.
Yep, only $100,000 guaranteed in his contract. That is by no means a total that would make a team feel financially committed to a guy.
Okay, I'll give you a couple. Amara Darboh.
Yeah.
A third-round pick that they loved a year ago. I mean, they love the story. They love the talent. But a third-round pick right now that's looking at DeMario Stringfellow, that's looking at Brandon Marshall, that's looking at Marcus Johnson, that's looking at Jerron Brown with locks of Tyler and Doug. Like, where do I fit in this thing? You know, and you usually don't cut third rounders year two. You certainly don't cut them year one, and very rarely in the league do you even cut them year two. But I just think with where this receiver spot is, if those cuts were today, I don't know if he makes this team.
I don't know either, just because, you know, you got three locks, right? You've got Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett. I think Jerron Brown is a lock just because his 2018 salary is guaranteed. So you're talking about, what, two, at minimum two, maybe three at most, at the very most, four other spots. Well, Brandon Marshall is there. Marcus Johnson is doing some nice things. Your guy, DeMaurier Stringfellow. I mean, that's a very crowded mix for those last two, three, four spots. And look, as they say, Brock, you can't make the club from the tub. He hasn't been out here.
Who says that?
Whoa! You can't make the club from the tub. Yeah, that's what they say.
Nice.
He hasn't always been out here.
But who is they?
Who is that? I don't know. Was that you that said
that's
that?
What that's what wife, they say, Brock.
That is what my wife says to me, like, when she has this new fashion, like, well, they this is in. Like, who says this is in? They say it's in. Well, who's they?
Who is they?
Is that France? Where is they? Where are the is that Milan? Is that Italy? Who's they? Nordstrom's? Who's they that says they think this is in?
That's a good question.
But I think you're right on that one. Next.
Bang!
Right, let's go to the phone lines, Brady. Phone lines Ooh. Lit up for you, baby. Brady Henderson filling in for Salk this hour of power, brought to you by TAKL Tackle. Let's go to line two. Big Kyle, let's go to Adam in Seattle. You were just talking about locks. Go ahead, Adam. Fire away at me and Brady.
Yeah, good morning. My question is, will Sebastian Janikowski be the week one starter, and how much do you think he has left in the tank in his career?
Thank you, Adam. What do you think? Is Sebastian Janikowski a lock to make this team?
A lock, maybe not quite, but I think that all along this kicking job has been his to lose. When you talk about, I think, $500,000 guaranteed in his contract versus no money guaranteed in Jason Myers' contract. Certainly, you know, they're out here. They're giving both of those guys a chance to compete for it. You know, the one concern with Janikowski would be, how's that back holding up at 40 years old? He's looked fine. I saw him kicking a ball the other day that looked like it would have been good from 60 yards.
Kick off? To me, I don't think this is field goals. I think they would trust him on field goals, Brady. I think the question is, over four preseason games, can he kick off? One of my old buddies, Todd Peterson, who was a kicker here, I think kind of taught me, informed me how hard kickoffs are on your body. Now, he was a little guy, kind of like Jason Myers. You know, it's a littler guy that's got to create tremendous torque to do what you've got to do on kickoffs. Sebastian Janikowski is a different bird, man. He has got one. He's like, and you play golf with guys that when they just hit the ball, it's
effortless.
Different. Yes. Like, how does he hit the ball that far? And for Seabass, it's the same thing. Like, how does he create just so much power? And I mean, he's a big guy, but to me, that'll be the question. The other thing that I don't think I took into perspective enough with that signing is the relationship he has with the special teams coach, that they were together in Oakland.
Yep.
Relationships matter. As broken as the kicking game was last year, as broken as Blair Walsh is, you want somebody kind of like Scott Servais has with Nick Vincent. He just trusts him. He just has a relationship. I just trust you. And I think Brian Schneider trusts Seabass an awful lot, and that relationship back in Oakland, I think, helps.
Bang!
Thanks, Cross. Okay, how about this one?
Hit me.
Who has grown the most since the close of the 2017 season? When last year ended, who has grown the most from that point to where we sit here 2 weeks away from cutdown?
Rock, the first name when I saw that question that popped into my mind was Ethan Posick, because I think he's gained about 20 pounds. He looks bigger. But I'm going to go Chris Carson, okay? Chris Carson also put on some weight over the offseason. I want to say it was 10, 15 pounds. And you can tell, man, he looks stockier. It does not look like it has affected his speed at all. And there is just something about Chris Carson. There is just this presence to him, right? You see him, he's got the dark visor. He's got the hoodie pulled up when he doesn't have his helmet on. He's got the skull cap that says Steady Hustling on it. He's got the elbow pads. Man, he just looks like a running back. If you were to put it together like an all-prototype team, like of guys that look like they should be playing the position they're playing, you got Brandon Marshall at wide receiver.
Yes.
You got Deion Jordan at defensive end.
Yes.
And you got Chris Carson at running back.
And you got Brady Henderson in the press.
And Bobby Wagner agreeing with Brady on Chris Carson.
Since OTAs, he just looks different. He just looks different than everybody else. And, you know, I'm excited for him to get his opportunity. You know, we've seen a little bit of him last year, but unfortunately he had a nasty injury. So, you know, I'm excited to see him over 16 games.
Yeah, he's one buffed up dude. We were in our production meeting with him last week, too, and I think I asked him where his sleeves went, because he wears the hoodie with the cutoff sleeves. He kind of chuckled, and we kind of talked about it. I think last year he said he played around 220, and he really wanted to get to 230. He just felt from playing in the league and just against grown men and guys like Bobby hitting him that he wanted to get there, and he's nearly there. I think he was 229 or so he's right there. But he goes, yeah, you know, it really wasn't that hard. You know, my dad's built like this. My grandpa's built like this. I mean, all the Carsons are kind of built like this. If you put the work in, you have a chance to really grow and develop and take advantage of it. You know, here's a really weird answer to it, but to that question, and maybe it was just total presidency bias in sitting down with him yesterday, but Russell Wilson, that the end of last year, very end of the season, where there was no trust in the O-line, where there was not a lot of trust, I think, in his fundamentals, where he was more beat up than people were going to ever know, because he will never tell you what's banged up and beat up. And just to watch him over the last, I think, 5-6 months, Brady, take ownership in a new relationship with Schottenheimer and like it. To have some new, big, legitimate, that you just pointed to, weapons to throw to. And for the first time in 7 years, I can say confidently that my eyes see him working on things fundamentally. That he's trying to, at the bottom of his drop, just stay like Tom Brady and flat-footed and not just like look to scramble and be super sudden, but to actually settle into the fundamentals. And it's really weird to say for their best player, and who's a phenomenal player, one of the five best to do it, and it's not a slight. It's actually, I think, an incredible positive that he has grown an awful lot over the last 6 months.
Everything Brock just said is what Brian Schottenheimer said they've been working on all offseason.
Well, again, I always go back to fundamentals. I think, obviously, the skill sets that he has are tremendous. I think there's some things that we're looking at trying to do with his footwork and things like that. Just we're trying to hold him, in the details of some certain things that maybe he's never done. We're not going to force him to do anything that he doesn't like or doesn't feel good about, but he's been great in terms of trying things, and that's a starting point. Obviously, the fundamentals and the footwork and some of the different things timing-wise, maybe some route concepts that he hasn't run and how the footwork fits in.
It'd be very easy for guys, honestly, Brady, to be like, I'm not doing that.
Established guy?
Yeah. With what, four Pro Bowls and two Super Bowls, one win and everything else, and like the second most efficient passer in the history of the league, you want me to do what? D. Gordon, you want me to control the zone? Not controlling the zone. That's not what I do, man. I'm in the big leagues. I made it here. And Russell's gone the other way. Like, okay, I'm going to really try this. And it's not just one practice, and it's not mini camp. It's every day out here really trying to trust those fundamentals. That's a pretty cool deal. Next.
Bang!
How about we go back to the phone lines? Brady loves the phone lines. Here's a name from the past. And speaking of yoked, you know, Chris Carson did it in the offseason, committing to the weights. Milkman Jay. Milkman Jay is kind of a yoked-up dude. Beat me in a push-up contest. Milkman Jay carrying those crates of milk on a daily basis. What you got?
Boys.
Oh, what
hey,
you,
after seeing training camp
in
the first preseason game, what's an area that you're more excited about before going into the season? And one area you're more concerned about.
Great call, Milkman Jay. Appreciate it.
Jay, I'll take the first part of that question and give you the one that I'm more excited about, or the one I feel, the area that maybe eased my concerns even just a slight bit, is that pass rush. I think that has been by far the biggest question on their defense, probably the biggest question on their entire team. And to see Rasheem Green and Jacob Martin come off the edge for, I think they combined for two sacks. I think Markevious Mingo had a sack, but that came against our friend J-Web Nation.
Yes.
So I'm not sure how much stock you'd put into that one. But with those two young guys, and I wrote about this, if those two guys can give them some pass rush like what they saw, like what they did Thursday night, that would be a huge boost, just because with no Deion Jordan, Frank Clark is really your only sure thing as a pass rusher. So if those guys can get after the quarterback, show a little bit of what they showed Thursday night, I think that was pretty encouraging.
Yeah, and equally right there with it, I'll say on that defensive line, Puna Ford's had a very nice camp. And you just watch Tom Johnson and Shamar Stephan work. Now, I was just sitting out here the other day watching those two guys, just two grown men. Tom's been around forever, right? Arena League, CFL, NFL, multiple teams. Stephan, it spent his career in Minnesota, but under the kind of tutelage of Tom Johnson, and just watching those guys work before practice started on the little details and their steps and their hand placement. And those two added to Nas and to Jaron and Puna Ford, that I think is going to push and really kind of try to challenge to be on this roster somehow, some way, even if it is a bit of a long shot. I like that group. Pete thinks they have a chance to stop the run inside. And even then, when you look at Jackson and Jefferson, not your twitchy speed guys, pass rush guys, but when they're out on an edge, they're gigantic men. You know, and their ability to line up and just stop the run from those positions and that personnel, I think that's been encouraging.
We have enough to really fire out far away from line of scrimmage. Bobby and KJ set that in motion, but those guys up front are always crucial. And, Reed, J. Reed in the middle starts it. But when you're going to see Shamar Stevens can do some really cool stuff. Tom Johnson's going to do some good stuff. Quentin Jefferson's had a really good camp so far.
you love names, don't you?
Yeah.
You just love it. Because you have to be so good, Brady Anderson here from ESPN, in your writing, right? I know you do. You can't screw up a name.
No, you can't. That's a no-no. I'll make one more point about Tom Johnson. From a locker room standpoint, I think that's the type of veteran that they want in that defensive line room, more so than what they had with Michael Bennett last year.
Hey, let's do this. Let's continue on the phones. Go
Bang!
Ahead. Okay, Grazi. That's perfect. 206-421-3776. There's a couple phone lines open. Let's Can you stick around?
Yeah.
I know you got it right. You're busy.
I'm here.
You could stick around for another segment. Let me fire one last one before we'll come back and rattle off again. A bunch of your phone calls here, a bunch of your questions. Anything you got for Brady and I, we're down here. We're your eyes and ears. 421-377-6866-979-3776. Who's going to be second on this team in sacks?
I'm going to go with Marcus Smith, and this assumes that Frank Clark is going to be your leader, and I think that they need 10, 12, 13 sacks from him this year, just because, as we mentioned, some of the challenges with that pass rush. I think Marcus Smith, I was tempted, you know, part of me wondered about Bobby Wagner, right, because 2 years ago he had 4.5 sacks as a blitzer. I wonder, though, with, again, some of those challenges on the back end, if they might be reticent to bring his linebackers on blitzes as much as they have, just because there may be some vulnerabilities there with the new secondary. I'm going to say Marcus Smith, right? Now, Deion Jordan would be the obvious choice, but you just don't know what you're going to get from Deion Jordan. He's not practicing. Pete Carroll said on your show last week, no certainty that he's going to be there for week one. He's had three surgeries, I think, in the last 11 months. Also had the neck injury last year. You just don't know how much you can count on Deion Jordan. I think Marcus Smith,
can you say specifically what's going on with Deion? Do we know? Is it a stress reaction? What, there was a story out a week ago or so that said it could be a stress fracture. You may be looking at significant time missed this season. Do you have any feel or grasp for what's going on there?
I don't know. The Seahawks have been pretty vague about it. The only thing Pete Carroll said, it's a stress-related issue in his leg. That sounds like it could be a stress fracture. I don't want to play doctor from the radio booth here. But yeah, I mean, and if that's the case, you know, according to the, you know, people who know a lot more about this than I do, that could be an extended absence.
Well, I think your answer would be best case, that if you're going to miss Deion for some time and Frank is going to be there, hopefully as a double-digit sack guy, best case is Marcus Smith. I mean, he was a former first-round pick. He had 2.5 for you last year. If he can get 4 or 5, and it's going to have to be a collective.
Yep.
Right. Unlike the last few years where Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, where you kind of knew and Frank could be the third, this is going to have to be. Nas is going to have to get you 4 or 5 sacks from the inside. Quentin's going to have to get you a couple. Barkevious off an edge is going to have to get you a couple. Heck, I think even your nickelback, Justin Coleman, who is a good blitzer and likes to blitz, you know, from the 4-week side, I think he's going to have to get you a couple. I think it's going to have to be a collective kind of gathering there to get into the mid-30s, which is, I think, an ideal number for this team. Brady Anderson, kind enough to stick around. Phone lines are open here for you, 206-421-3776. I got just one or two more I'd love to fire through. Any question you've got, you haven't got out to camp the last few weeks, we have. Fire your questions our way. We'll answer them. Brady's in for Salky. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. Brock and Salk, we're not messing around. Brady Henderson sitting in for Salky in this final hour, brought to you in the 9 a.m. hour by Tackle, T-A-K-L. I like this question. I open up the phone lines, 206-421-3776. Any question you've got for Brady and I, or your eyes and ears. And this is the final day that you're going to hear the music and the people in the background. Season ticket holders out here today for the Seahawks watching practice. But Brent, you're down in South Lake Union. I like your question, man. Go ahead, fire away.
Thank you. I don't know why Earl Thomas is holding out. I don't know why the fans are concerned. I know the Seahawks are concerned, because if he doesn't come back by the 8th week, I believe, then his contract rolls over and he's going to be here next year. He'll probably be here by the 1st week, I would think. You had Walter Jones would miss training camp every year. That was no big deal. So, you know, he's going to play hard when he's here. Because if he doesn't want to be here, he obviously wants money and he wants to be somewhere else, so he has to play well in order to get a good contract.
All right, so you got a question, Brent? What do you think? You got a question?
Yeah, if the Seahawks really want him, they can always franchise him. What do you think, Brock? Why is he doing this? And is there any reason for the fans to be concerned?
Yeah, he's doing this because he wants his one final last payday, Brent. Now, I would be careful to compare and contrast with Walter Jones. Walter Jones held out because he was franchised. He knew that there was no other leverage. He did not want to risk himself, and he held out. He showed up when the regular season started to collect his massive paychecks. Very different situation, Brady, in my mind, with Earl Thomas, who wants his last payday. And Brady Henderson, Seahawks reporter for ESPN, you wrote a piece here recently on Earl.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point that Brent makes about Earl having to show up at some point, and the way that work the mechanics of that is, I don't know the exact date, but at sometime around week 10 or so, you've got to show up in order to avoid your contract tolling into next season. So in other words, if Earl Thomas didn't report for the minimum number of games, his contract, the final year of his contract, would just roll over to 2019. That would mean that he'd be, you know, now another year away from free agency, which is what he wants. I will say this, you know, I would also caution against getting, you know, assuming we know what Earl Thomas is going to do. There may be only one person that knows what Earl Thomas is going to do, and Earl Thomas may not even know exactly what he's going to do. He's a hard guy to read. I wouldn't be surprised if he is dug in enough to miss, you know, at least a couple games like Cam Chancellor did 3 years
ago. He'll never make this money back.
Yeah.
Earl, you're not listening, and I don't know if any of your friends are listening. You're never going to make this money back. You're just not. Dwayne Brown did not make up his money that he missed for the 9 paychecks that he week 1 through 9 last year with the Houston Texans. He didn't. He definitely got some dough, but he never got enough to make up for it, and I don't think you will, Earl. Let's shoot out to Grant in Nashville, Tennessee on line number 5. What you got, Grant?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I have a question about our philosophy in drafting with the wide receiver. I look back to last year. Baldwin obviously is great, but he's like 5'10". Tyler Lockett's smaller. Paul Richardson smaller. You know, you had David Bass last year. We know how that went, 6'2", and things like that. I'm trying to figure out what is our philosophy behind receivers being a little more smaller and streamlined and trying to beat the long-term coverage, guys like Marcus Johnson and things like that.
Yeah.
What is the philosophy? And then all of a sudden, oh, Brandon Marshall, 34 years old, banged up a little bit of the history in the physical area, and we pick him up. We always just seem to kind of do that in the receiver group. What's our philosophy with the smaller frame guys that we pick up?
Yeah, Grant, that's a good question. I apologize for the screaming in the background. You're probably going to hear that for the next few minutes, so we'll do our best to overcome some of that. Do you think they've got a set? I know that Pete's always loved at least one big wide receiver. I think it's been a challenge to find that guy the last couple years. I don't think I'll answer specifically there, Grant, and then I'll let Brady weigh in as well. I don't think there's a, hey, you're going to have to fit in this box at wide receiver.
Right.
You know, can you separate? Can you do that with your elite quickness, Doug Baldwin? Can you separate Tyler Lockett with your speed? Can you separate Brandon Marshall with your size and your strength and your length and stringfellow and crew? So I don't think there's a specific measurable like there is with DBs for them or D linemen for them. But for wide receivers, it is, I think, the varying skill sets and your ability through contact to make catches and to separate.
Yeah, I think it's a good question because I've heard ever since Pete Carroll showed up here that he loves the big receivers, right? The Mike Williams, the I'm missing the other guy's
Chris
name.
Matthews.
Chris Matthews, Jarrett, I can't remember Jarrett's name that he had at USC. Pete Carroll loves the big receivers. Well, then why is Doug Baldwin your number one? Why do you draft Tyler Lockett, Paul Richardson? I think the answer there is simple. There's just not that many big receivers who can run, right? The guys who can run and who can gain separation from cornerbacks are the smaller guys, the 6 foot and under guys. They just, those big guys
the AJ,
who can run.
The A.J. Greens, the Julio Jones.
Those are the outliers.
They are.
There's just not as many of those guys.
The DeAndre Hopkins down with the Houston Texans. Maybe some think of him as Bernard Hopkins, and I get it because he's feisty and he likes to, you know, to get after it. But, yeah, those guys are few and far between. Has Brandon Marshall been, by the way, just like one of the craziest surprises for you?
He has.
I can't believe how available he's been and just how physically gifted he still is.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about his chances to make the team than I did even 2 or 3 weeks ago. And, you know, when they first signed him, I kind of viewed that as a move similar to a lot of moves they've made in the past where, you know, they're young at a certain position, right? And they sign a veteran. It's kind of a CYA move, right? They sign a veteran just in case they don't feel quite comfortable about those young guys developing. We saw it in 2013 with Antoine Winfield at cornerback. We saw it 2 years ago with Jari Evans along the offensive line. We saw it a year earlier with Eric Winston at right tackle when they drafted Justin Britt in the second round. It's a move to sort of CYA, get a veteran guy in there in case those young guys don't develop. Well, all three of those guys that we mentioned, Barrett Rood in 2012 as well, when they drafted Bobby Wagner, all four of those guys, none of them ended up making the team. I thought that when they signed Brandon Marshall, it was kind of a similar situation. And frankly, I wonder if some people in the building might have had that same thought too. Only $90,000 guaranteed in his contract. Well, like I said, it's a lot easier to imagine him making the team. He's been out there a lot more. He's practicing. He's working with the first team because Doug Baldwin's out there. And as I wrote today on ESPN.com, he seems to be building a nice connection there with Russell Wilson. Those two guys seem to be clicking. You got to imagine that Russell wants that big receiver to throw to.
Yeah.
Not having that anymore with Jimmy
Graham. You know, I said this the other day or last week we were talking about Brandon, and one of the advantages he has here is they don't see a lot of man-to-man coverage. when you play Russell Wilson, you know, I was chatting with one of the quarterbacks on the roster here, and they don't you just don't see as much man because of his ability to run. And you see a lot of zone coverage. And for someone that's played in this league as long as Brandon is, it's still big and physical as he is to get to a spot and to make those catches and build that rapport with Russell. I think he's capable of doing that. Here, let's sneak in one more quick question.
Bang!
I like this question. It's kind of hard to answer, Gary in Des Moines, but line number three, I kind of like the thought process here, and we'll do our best. Go ahead.
Yes, first of all, I want to say real quick that I just retired from the Army, and I've represented the Seahawks and the Mariners all over the world. Sometimes I was the only voice, but I represented, man. Now, as far as my question, I just want to know, are the guys truly buying into, hey, we can have a good team, we can win this year? Because, you know, there's been a lot of offseason distractions. A lot of guys thought the ship was going down. Well, are the guys really buying into, yeah, we can still be good, we can still contend?
Yeah, Gary, great question. Thank you for your service all over the world. Is this team buying in, Brady? I know it's hard to measure. Some of these other things are a whole lot easier to talk about. Is this team confident? Do you feel a amount of buy-in over the last 3 weeks of camp?
Yeah, you know, I think that guys hear and they see the projections, right? They see the 8-8, the 6-9, you know, 5-12. They see that, even if they don't want to admit it, they see it. But I really don't think that guys buy into that. I think that they're out here. Oh, thanks, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
We just got delivered pizza by a young Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. Brady, that's what happens when you jump on the show for an hour. You get a little Pizza Hut pizza, yeah.
Yeah, I think guys are out here and they see, you know, look, they're going against these guys. The guys that they're playing against are NFL players. They're good players. So I don't think that they view it as, you know, the Seahawks are going to bottom out this year. I really don't think so.
No, Gary, I would say the ones that are left, those veterans that are left, Russell, Bobby, KJ, you've heard very clearly and very adamantly, like, knock it off. Like, we could still play. And then you got so many other young guys or guys from other areas have come into the program that got to prove it. And that's what you want. That's when it was built originally, man. You've got to come in here. Nothing will be handed to you. You got to come in here and prove that you can be a part of this thing. So thank you. Great. Yeah. Appreciate the.
Thank you for your service,
yeah,
Gary.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate a bunch of those phone calls. That's awesome stuff. Yeah. This fella here gets on the mic and he's a little bit louder than the rest. So sorry about the little bit of the distraction there, but we will bring it home. If you got any more questions, you can text those into 710-710. Maybe we'll sneak in a couple more football questions, but you got someone of Brady's ilk from ESPN. You gotta fire away some answer the question jerk questions too. So you could throw those into 710-710. We will wrap this sucker up today from Seahawks camp. The final day with the fans and the music out here, and some of the celebration with the season ticket holders. And it's going to get real very fast. Just 2 weeks away from the final preseason game as well. So we'll answer your questions. Brady's in for Salky. It's Brock and Salky here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salky. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Well, we wrap up every show of Brock and Salk by answering your questions. You can text those in. Still some room at 710-710. Brady, I fired a few questions your way before we get to some of the fun and silly ones. I asked you last night whether you think Russell can get back to the second half of 2015 form.
Can he? Yes, absolutely. I think he can. But I'll say this, you know, we always tend to think of it as what was the one difference, right? Idiots like me ask questions when a team goes from, like, when, you know, horrible in the first half and all of a sudden they figure it out in the second half. What was the one difference, right? And I think we tend to think of Russell Wilson's second half of 2015 the same way, as if there was one difference. You know, I think when a guy throws 26 touchdowns to only 3 interceptions, everything is working, right? Yeah. Russell is on his game. The offensive line is protecting. The play calling is dialed in. The receivers are making their plays. The running game is there. I think what happened there was a lot of things. Look, their running game should be a lot better this year. Their offensive line, pass protection should be better. Russell Wilson, you know, with a new coordinator in Brian Schottenheimer, a new voice in his ear, I think he can be a lot better. It's hard. It's a tough ask to say everything working together like that for an entire season. Maybe during stretches, I think so, but over an entire season, that's a lot to ask. It's a lot to come together.
710-710, you got a question out there. Anything in the is the control room there? Control room, are you there?
Yes, bro.
Okay, go ahead. What you got?
Jerks, what are your thoughts on burger sliders?
I don't think I've ever ordered burger sliders as an appetizer. If I'm going to go burger, I'm going entree. Like, I just don't see that. I don't see that as an appetizer. Or I don't even see that, frankly, as ordered as my dinner or entree, as I've seen other people do. That's fine. That's just not for me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. If I'm going to get a burger, I'm going to get a burger. I will say, at the USO Red, White, and Blue Golf Tournament at Newcastle, El Gaucho comes out and brings out these like prime rib or filet mignon sliders, some of the best things I've ever had. But if I'm going to go out and order a burger, I'm going to order a burger.
Yeah.
A full burger.
Kyle, you missed that, by the way. Yesterday, Wassel was yelling for the control room. Is the control room there?
Why? What happened?
He was very irritated.
They being unattentive to Tom's needs?
This will shock you, but yes, Tom was very irritated.
Next
question.
Jerks, Saved by the Bell question. Mm. You had to pick one. Kelly Kapowski, Jesse Spano, or Lisa Turtle?
Kelly Kapowski. Let's go.
Is that even a debate? I mean...
Kelly Kapowski? Do I know the difference between the three of those? Which one? Was there a tall one?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen was Kelly.
Was Kelly Kapowski?
Yeah.
She was the tall one in it?
No, the real tall
one.
That
was Jesse.
That was Jesse, huh?
Yeah, she was like a little unstable at times.
That was A.C. Slater's girl, right?
Didn't one of them go on to make kind of a risque movie?
That would be Jesse.
Yeah, it was Jesse.
That was Jesse, huh?
They also asked Lydia, A.C. Slater, Zach Morris, or Screech?
That's the age-old question.
Stop. Zach, of course.
Zach, yeah. Zach's a good-looking guy.
Next question.
Were you big into that show?
Oh, yeah.
How warm does it have to be to wear a bro tank?
What just happened? Why did it get uncomfortable?
Oh, we're just laughing about it.
I used to watch American Gladiators followed by Saved by the Bell on USA
Unbelievable
Today Network.
Programming,
yep. The best. My summer, right there.
And here is Blaze. Yes, this is going to get good.
I'm sorry. Did you ask another question, Howdy?
Jerks, specifically Brady, how warm does it have to be to wear a bro tank?
How warm does it have to be
if
to wear a bro tank?
Tank? You got
to
be doing it right. Get those creases out. Use those hands, son.
I mean, does it have to be any degree? I mean, I don't know, 30 degrees maybe? 40 degrees?
We're doing it upright, boys. I mean, bro takes to the extreme. You got to show the muscles to have the muscles, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Was that a big O'Day thing, you think? Is that where you kind of started wearing them?
No. I'll tell you where my bro tank game really took off was when I went to Southeast Asia. And, you know, there's no, like, laundry is not as accessible there. And so, you know, I think I bought, like, 4 bro tanks there just because it's so hot there. You just can't even wear a V-neck, like, T-shirt. You just sweat through it.
Isn't that where you drank the cobra blood or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I
then
ate
got
a cobra,
sick.
Yeah. Yes, yes, but those two things weren't related.
Just yeah, you got sick right.
Despite
we
all of the conspiracy theories. Yeah, I did not get sick from the cobra blood.
But you drank cobra blood.
I did drink cobra blood.
Rapper name is Lil Fuzzy. Tom's is Lil Shorty. What would your rapper name be?
What would my rap? Well, I don't know. The whole Lil thing. It's just kind of played out. Like, can we think of something beyond Lil?
No,
I just no. I'm not gonna do a Lil thing. Okay,
it's not gonna be Lil anything.
Nothing about the biceps and the bro tank.
That's not even that.
Nothing about that.
There's nothing original about it.
Okay. Hey, I got a question for you, Brady.
Yeah.
Next question.
As Trey Madden walks by, he's the only fullback on the roster right now.
Yeah.
They used to have 3, Khalid Hill, and then they cut Jalston Fowler this week as well. Do you think they have a bring back another fullback?
Tukafu, Tuwafawafo.
I don't know if it's going to be that guy, but yeah, I could see them doing that. You know, they went from 3 all of a sudden to 1 in like a matter of a week, and usually, you know, they like to have at least 1 or 2 guys there competing for that spot. So, you know, I thought Trey Madden. I I'm going to confess, I was not watching Trey Madden like exclusively Thursday night, but he made a really good block from a replay that I saw.
Yeah,
so,
he did.
Yeah,
Will
Tukafu Tuwafawafo.
Exactly.
Next question.
Last one, serious one.
Okay.
Jerks, what is the biggest question mark for the Huskies going into this football season?
Oh, that's a good one. That is. I was on with my boys down at Birmingham this morning, man. They're getting excited for that one. The biggest question mark for the Huskies is the dynamic receiver. The one that you throw it out to, and he just makes Jake Browning's job easier. Because if Jake Browning has that confidence and things come together, much to your Russell Wilson's point, and all of a sudden they're running the ball and they're blocking and he's pitching and catching, he showed he threw 43 touchdowns. But if he doesn't trust it, he also showed he'll hold it and run around and get sacked. And so to me, that's their biggest question. Who is their dynamic offensive playmaker for him on the perimeter? Chico will do it inside. Miles will do it inside. Their tight ends will catch it. But outside on that edge, man, against elite teams and defenses like Auburn's, who's going to be that guy?
Miles Gaskin, my O'Day guy right there.
Little engine number nine. Engine number nine. That hour went pretty fast, huh, Brady?
It sure did. I feel like we've been out here for 15 minutes.
Hey, tomorrow will be kind of fun. 8 a.m., Daniel Jeremiah going to join the show. I moved the sticks, one of our favorites to talk to. He actually does my job on the TV end for the Chargers. So we'll get a little feel from DJ down there in Southern California. He'll join us at 8, open phone lines at 9. Plenty to get to as we take in yet another Seahawk practice. The last one, open to some of the public and the season ticket holders. Brady, can't thank you enough. Read him over there at ESPN.com. The Seahawks reporter does an awesome job. Has a cool story coming out on Brandon Marshall, in fact, today. Go check it out. But as for this day, Brady, the hay.
Yeah, it's in the barn.
In the barn.
That's it. Imagine Dragons would say, welcome to the new age.
Get to the chopper!